You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Join the over 100,000 Browns fans who are registered members of the Browns Backers Worldwide Fan Club. Receive merchandise discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to learn more. Earlier in the show, we referenced some comments made by T.J. Ward, and DeQuell Jackson kind of addressed those comments and kind of gave his take on what the team was talking about.
T.J., he was frustrated with the game, and, you know, I understood his frustration. Everybody was disappointed, and everyone, you know, we put a lot into these last 2 weeks, and come up short, it affects us all, you know. But he's got to do a better job of controlling those emotions. And this is the time where, you know, we don't need any division amongst any of us. And I'm sure he regrets it. You know, we hadn't spoken personally, but, you know, he was speaking out of frustration.
Man, I love that.
He's a great leader.
That's DeQuell Jackson, leadership to the max. And he gets on a conference call with the media. That's why that was a phone call. He called in to do that with players because I think players were out a little bit earlier today. But to make that comment and to make a point, and he considers TJ a good friend and a high level of respect. And what I'm impressed with is that he trusts their relationship enough to make what was a constructively critical comment about him, right? I mean, that's where we go. And he was asked DeQuell Jackson was, about Brandon Weeden playing through the boos.
You know, he came into the game yesterday, and, you know, yeah, you hear the boos around the stadium, but you have to block that out. That comes with the territory. He plays a tough position. You know, he takes all the credit when you win, and unfortunately, he takes all the credit when you lose. So I'm more than confident he can get it done.
Okay, again, a leader being a leader. Now, I don't know, you know, if that's all well-placed confidence, but what is he really can't say anything else. And more than anything, he's got to reinforce that message. Whoever's playing quarterback for us is our quarterback.
Is our guy. We can't win without him. And that's a fact. You can't win without your quarterback. So if he's going to be starting, you got to try to embrace him and do the best there. The other question DeQuell was asked is the defense where he feels that it should be?
I think we're where we want to be. You know, if you look at all the offseason acquisitions we brought in, you know, we beefed up the defense. So we should be where we are. And we can obviously there's room for improvement. You know, at the end of the season, when this thing is over, we want to be the top defense in the league. And we're, you know, 200 yards away, or whatever you want to call it, away from being the number one defense.
Well, in five games, a lot can happen with those stats, but they are in range of doing something like that. I want to say this, though. The number that has to matter the most always is your win total. Now, under these circumstances, there will be those who rightfully will be nervous about the idea of the Browns playing their way out of a more favorable draft pick. And that's real. That's the reality of where you are when you're out of the hunt, according to the lists that are out there. Mathematically, you're not, but you are in terms of reality. And you got five games left. And five games is a lot of games where teams and the opponents on this list, including Jacksonville, you see the Jets, they're in the same boat, more or less, about, you know, slogging along here in that four or five win range or less to just, I guess, to maybe, for instance, does Jacksonville come into this game and say, you know what, the best thing we can do is go to Cleveland and lose? And I don't think that's anywhere near what they're thinking about when they come here. I think they have felt very embarrassed, and I think they're trying to close strong. I think there are jobs on the line there, as there are here too, by the way. There are jobs on the line, and guys like DeQuell Jackson, that's the message that he's trying to reinforce to a lot of these guys too, is that you're being judged on everything you do and your effort. And if you got to go by what we've seen the last 2 weeks, and particularly yesterday, there are a lot of guys the judgment should be, you know what, we don't want you here. That's going to happen.
For sure. And I think that's what the guys who are playing, they need to, you know, the final five games is your chance to say, listen, I believe I want to be a part of this. I want to get it done and certainly help be one of the pieces that turns it around as the Browns build to that. And it is just sad to see how things have changed and how quickly things have changed for the Cleveland Browns, who were, you know, at one point tied for, you know, right near the top of the division, now solely at the bottom of the division, and they take on a Jacksonville Jaguars team that, by the way, is playing a little bit better of late. They've won two of their last three games. They come here to take on a Browns team. They've beaten Tennessee, who is a team that is likely going to go to the playoffs. They lost to a very good Arizona team, and they beat Houston, and the thing about it is both of those wins, Tennessee and Houston, came on the road, so they're not afraid to go on the road and play tough and play well. And their defense has really been what's helped them the last couple of games. It's going to be tough. Every game left for the Browns is going to be tough. And, yep. and if you're thinking playoffs, I mean, don't anymore. I think that is unreal. Yeah. Look for positive signs for this Cleveland Browns team. And then there are going to be the people, like you said, who are going to say lose all five games just to get a better draft pick.
And they're not wrong. They're not Browns haters either,
no,
by the way. They're enthusiastic fans saying, please give us a chance by giving us better position. I get it. I get that. I'm not going to argue that.
It's not an irrational thought.
No. How about Coy in Cleveland, if he's still there? Does he have – how about is Joseph – with us either. Okay, how about Joseph in Tennessee? Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, my point when I said when we were briefing there was I really don't think we have the window to develop a rookie quarterback. I'm thinking the strategy that Banner and Lombardi are looking at is possibly somebody like Cutler.
Oh, okay. I hear you, and that's not off the. I mean, that's not too far off the trail of thinking in the whole view, the whole perspective, the broad perspective of how you look at quarterback. You know, is a guy like that available? Is it worth the investment? You've got some health concerns now to also think about. I'm not sure that any team that has a guy like that that's worth giving or worth helping another team, that they wouldn't want to hang on to that guy. The biggest problems with the Bears right now, I know, are on their defensive side of the ball, but I think, by and large, Jay Cutler's still their best quarterback when he's healthy. Even though I thought Josh McCown's played well, has Josh McCown done enough to convince the Bears, yeah, he's our guy going forward, let's get rid of Jay Cutler? I don't know. What do you think?
I will see. I mean, that's something that, like a lot of the things in the offseason, we will have ample time to discuss once they make the decision not to keep Jay Cutler. I like Jay Cutler. I think Jay Cutler can be a winning quarterback, and the Browns, if you look at the Chicago Bears record when he's on the field versus when he's not, it's clear that he is an important piece for their team and one who can help them win. So I think that that's a possibility. I think that when you look at this team, they would feel, given the way that quarterbacks are paid in the National Football League, if you can be correct in the draft, you get a quarterback basically at a massively reduced rate for 4 years, which allows you to surround him with a much better supporting cast. I think that's the way they're going to go.
I was going to say, that's their MO. I mean, if they stay true to what we believe their model to be, their philosophy to be, you hit it right there. Let's draft the quarterback, not sign a free agent or make a trade for one.
If this season were to have gone differently, if they maybe went 9-7 and you looked at it and you said, really, all they need is that one quarterback and you could plug in Jay Cutler and say, instantly, we are AFC championship level, I think that would be a different discussion. I don't think that's the discussion.
How about Tony in Cleveland? Hey, Tony.
Hey, listen, I got a couple of questions.
Sure.
Number one, if the Browns are going to sign a backup quarterback, what are they going to look for in a quarterback now as opposed to when Hoyer first got hurt and you just had Wheaton and Campbell? What are they going to see in a backup now that they didn't see to get one when Hoyer first went down?
It would just be necessity. I think then they still had two quarterbacks who could play, and if Jason Campbell goes through his concussion protocols and is not eligible to play, they need to physically have another quarterback on the roster who would go in the event that something happened to Brandon Whedon.
You're filling a spot. You're plugging a hole. It's not done with – I hear the way your question was framed, Tony, that is there some real deep analysis to the extent of this guy comes in and can be something special. By the way, I'm not ruling out that you won't assess the person – beyond five games and hope he might give you more than that going into next year. But that's, I think, the thought process, as Nathan said, it is you're just getting a guy who can play the position. And that's the most fundamental way to look at it. And I think based on who's out there, that's about all you're going to get, just based on what we know of the history of the people who are out there. To Virginia now, to Tim. Hey, Tim. Hey, what's up?
Hey, look, man, I don't think we're that bad. Well, you knew you wasn't going to turn it around in 1 year. The quarterbacks have played decent, but we may have to look at that offensive line more so than worrying about a quarterback. I think when Hoyer comes back, he'll be good. Got to draft somebody. But a lot of these guys won't be here next year. They're going to pick up guys. Hey, man, I still think we're a lot better than last year, and I'm already looking forward to next year. Appreciate it, fellas.
All right. Thank you, Tim. And I think that it's interesting to note that, you know, a lot of people are starting to comment on the offensive line. And I think it's fair because I think, as you've seen in the NFL, there are few situations where you have special running backs, but there are plenty of teams that can still run the football. And that comes from the guys up front creating a push, creating holes, and being able to run, even with guys who are technically, quote, not that special. So I think that there's a lot of talk about that. Obviously, if you're going to have an offense that is predicated on being vertical, taking time to get the football out, you need to do a better job of pass protection. I mean, the fact of the matter is the Browns are have given up the second most sacks in the NFL at 39. And I don't think you can blame all of that on the quarterback because there have been three of them and they've all been sacked. So, yeah, I think the offensive line, when you get it's one of the things that I always say about football, when you have great skill position players, it doesn't matter if you don't have the time to use them. It never matters.
You're correct. And when you talk about a running game, that conversation has to include the line's performance or lack thereof. It's a factor. There's no doubt. I don't think it's the only factor. I think,
agreed,
too,
it's
I want to see there needs to be an upgrade at the position of talent. And wherever that comes from, again, likely the draft, that's where you're going to go. But it has to go hand in hand with improving that line. And that's why we say we know what this list of positions, and it's kind of a growing list. I mean, at first when we said quarterback, get a receiver, and maybe an O-lineman, and you feel good. But this list has got more components to it. You can throw a running back on it. Again, I think you need more at the tight end position. I think you need more. We certainly could raise some issues on defense, and we don't even know how the offseason is going to play out with free agency with a strong safety in T.J. Ward, whose contract is coming up. You got Joe Hayden, who's going to have to be paid. You've got different things. You got Alex Mack, whose contract situation will be a situation. None of these I want to address now in any depth, but I'm just saying that will influence, could influence what you're going to do draft-wise. By the way, this is cool. We just got to take this call because of the coolness of the location. Did I read this right, Dino? Rome, Italy? For Fahd in Rome, Italy.
Fahd?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
Very good.
What's up, man?
Everything's good. I'm just, you know, it's Therapy Monday, of course.
That's right. It is.
It's so painful, but, hey, we're talking about important points, what the Cleveland Browns should do to be successful in the near future. And after analyzing all of this, and I think I have a winning formula.
All right.
Bring me two guys. I want Johnny Manziel and Sammy Watkins. The two guys,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I like Sammy Watkins. I think he's the best wide receiver in this draft class. You were able to pair him with Josh Gordon, and you have an opportunity to have a very explosive offense, and Johnny Football can make plays. I know that those guys are being looked at, as obviously all the top talents are there, but that's not a bad wish list. That's not a bad wish list at all.
Hey, Fahd?
Pardon me?
Oh, you know, I want to say something to you. So you're in Rome. So I lived there when I was a little kid. I mean, long, long time ago. And it's such a beautiful city. Yes. The what I was thinking about, the Via Veneto, is that still such a beautiful
absolutely.
Place?
That's the touristy place and the best place for shopping and meeting American. There are a lot of Americans there because of the U.S. embassy.
Yes. Well, we were there. So, yeah, my dad, it was a work assignment way back in the day. That's why we ended up living there. But anyway, it's so great that you called. But look, even if you're upset with the Browns or frustrated, you still have a beautiful city in which you live.
I do appreciate that eternal city. But, you know, I live in Akron as well. I try to go back and forth.
Okay.
And, you know, I have the opportunity to live in these good areas, but at the same time,
bless you.
You know, not, I call myself an adopted Cleveland Browns fan, you know,
nice.
Because when I moved to the U.S., the first thing that I had an impact with was the Cleveland Browns. This is 7 years ago, and, you know, I fell in love with the team, but now, you know, Sundays, most of the time, they have fun of me at home. That it's the depressing day because we are not yet to make, you know,
you,
a winning
you and me
season.
Both, brother.
Hey, but I have a good feeling. I have a good feeling. Good. Will change very soon.
All right, Fahd. Wheely, we truly appreciate your call. We appreciate everyone's call, wherever they're calling from, but nice to have a guy
strong.
Calling from Rome,
yeah.
Italy. And it was a good, strong call, too. You're right. All right, we're going to hear from Gerard Cherry, who I believe is in the U.S. with us still. He was here. He was there yesterday, so he's still here hanging out. And we got to get Gerard's Monday thoughts on this Therapy Monday edition of CBD. Vic, Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR, thanks for hanging out with us.